From the Gable Media Podcast Network and presented by Lines, this is Spaces, the podcast where we make sense of the spaces that shape society. I'm your host, Demetrius Lynch. Hello! Thanks for coming back. And if you're new here, welcome. This is episode 216, where I examine design build, what it is, why it can be appealing, where it works well, and what you need to understand before assuming it is the most efficient or cost-effective way to complete your project. But before we get into it, a quick reminder that you can find all of this information and more in my digital download, Before You Build. It's a strategic pre-design framework to help you avoid costly mistakes in common projects. And as we near the end of summer, many of you may start considering projects you've been putting off. To help you get started, I'm making Before You Build available at a special $9 price for the next 25 purchasers. Subscribers to my email list, Field Report, will also have access to that $9 price with no purchase limit for now. So, if you've been thinking about a renovation, ADU, addition, kitchen remodel, or small commercial project, this is the best time to download it and start with more clarity. You can find it now at lines.studio/store or follow the link in the show notes. Now back to today's focus. First, a foundational thing to understand is the term delivery method. It simply means the way a product or service is provided to the customer. In construction, one of the most common traditional processes is called design, bid, build. You hire a designer or architect, develop the design and drawings, then bid or negotiate with a contractor to build the project. Design build is different. Instead of hiring the design team and contractor separately, you work with one company or one team that handles both the design and construction. One contract, one point of contact, one team, one process. That sounds appealing, especially if you're a homeowner or business owner already overwhelmed by coordinating drawings, pricing, permits, consultants, schedules, and decisions. The promise is simplicity, speed, better coordination, and fewer surprises because the people designing the project are connected to the people building it. And when design build is done well, those benefits can be significant. A strong design build team can streamline communication, bring construction knowledge into the design process earlier, provide cost feedback sooner, reduce back and forth between separate teams, and give the owner a more integrated experience. For certain projects, especially those with clear goals, limited complexity, and a strong team, that can work very well. However, design build is not automatically better. It is not automatically cheaper, faster, or less risky. It is simply a different delivery method. Whether it works depends on the project, the team, the contract, the level of design ambition, the amount of owner involvement, and the clarity of the process. The mistake many owners make is assuming design build means they don't have to worry about as much, but the opposite is true. With design build, you still need clarity, a defined scope, and a realistic budget. You still need drawings, permits, consultants when required, decisions, and accountability. And uniquely, you need to understand who protects your interest throughout the process. That last point is important. In a traditional architect-led process, the architect is typically hired first by the owner and guides them through the entire process while the contractor is a separate party. That separation creates a system of checks and balances. The architect helps develop the design, coordinate the documents, support permitting, and often assists during bidding and construction. The contractor prices and builds the work. When both are working well, the owner benefits from independent professional guidance and construction expertise. In design build, that separation is reduced. The designer and builder may be part of the same company or contractually aligned under one agreement. That can improve coordination, but it also can reduce the independence of either the design or construction voice, depending on how the company is structured and who is leading the process. Design or construction decisions may be influenced by company preferences, available trades, preferred products, profit targets, or the way the firm typically does things. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but you need to understand it. If your main priority is speed, simplicity, and a streamlined process, design build may be a good fit. If your main priority is a highly customized design, extensive exploration, independent advocacy, or competitive pricing for multiple contractors, design build may not give you everything you expect. Design build can work well when the scope is relatively clear. For example, a straightforward bathroom remodel, a kitchen update within an existing footprint, a small commercial improvement with limited design complexity, or a project where all the design goals are already well defined. It can also work well when the owner does not want to manage multiple relationships. Some clients simply want one team to guide the process from beginning to end. They don't want to separately hire an architect, engineers, consultants, and contractors. They don't want to compare multiple bids. They just want a simpler path. There's value in that. Design build can also be helpful when early pricing input is important. Because the builder is involved early, there may be faster feedback about what ideas may cost, what construction methods may be more efficient, and what decisions may create budget pressure. That feedback can prevent a project from being designed too far beyond what the owner can afford. But the key phrase is, can prevent. It doesn't happen automatically. If the scope is vague, if pricing is not transparent, or if allowances are unclear, design build can still lead to surprises. That brings us to the trade-offs. The first trade-off is limited comparison. In a traditional process, the owner can compare designers or architects to find one whose style, process, and personality are the right fit. Design can be a long and personal process, so you want to make sure you have a strong partnership. Once drawings are developed, the owner can then solicit pricing from multiple contractors. That doesn't guarantee the lowest price or the best outcome, but it does allow comparison. You can evaluate cost, approach, schedule, qualifications, and fit across more than one builder. In design build, you may be committing to an unknown designer or builder much earlier. That can simplify the process, but it may also make it harder to know whether the design or construction cost is competitive, or if you'll have a good working relationship with each. This is not automatically a problem, but it means you should ask who the team members are and how pricing is developed. Is it fixed price, cost plus, an estimate, or allowance-based? What is included? What's excluded? How are changes handled? How are unknown conditions addressed? How transparent is the pricing? The second trade-off is design depth. Some design build firms do excellent design work. Others are more construction-driven. Some are strong at execution but limited in design exploration. Some may produce layouts that are practical but not especially thoughtful. Some may guide you towards solutions that are easier to build but not necessarily the best long-term solution for how you want to live or operate. Again, that doesn't mean the design build is bad. It means you need to understand the design capability of the team. Who is actually doing the design? Are they licensed? Are they experienced with your project type? How much time is included for design exploration? How many options will you see? How are your goals documented? How are decisions made? Will the design respond to your lifestyle, operations, property, and long-term needs, or mostly reflect the firm's standard approach? The third trade-off is advocacy. In an architect-led process, the architect can serve as an independent advisor to the owner. That doesn't mean the architect is against the contractor. A good project requires collaboration, but the architect is generally engaged to help represent the owner's interests in relation to the design, documents, and construction observation. In design build, the architect or designer may work for the design build company. Their primary contractual responsibility may be to the design builder, not directly to you. That may be perfectly fine if the company is trustworthy, transparent, and client-focused, but it's important to know up front. When there is a cost issue, who helps you evaluate the options? When there's a design compromise, who helps you understand the consequences? When there is a field condition, who explains whether the proposed solution is best for you or simply easiest for the builder? When a change order comes up, who helps you assess whether it's reasonable? Construction projects involve large financial decisions. You should understand where the lines of responsibility are. The fourth trade-off is flexibility. Design build can be efficient when decisions are made clearly and early. But if you want to explore several design directions, compare options, refine ideas slowly, or separate the design process from the construction commitment, design build may feel restrictive. That's why self-awareness matters. Clients have a range of expectations: multiple design options, guidance, speed, customization, certainty, or collaboration and exploration. Different delivery methods support different experiences. Before choosing design build, ask yourself, do I want one streamlined team or independent design guidance? Do I want to compare contractor pricing, or am I comfortable committing earlier? Do I have a clear scope, or do I need help discovering what the project should be? Do I want a custom design process, or am I comfortable with a more standardized approach? Do I trust this firm enough to let them control both design and construction? Now, when may design build not be the best fit? If your project is highly custom, architecturally ambitious, complicated by zoning or code issues, located on a difficult site, involves major structural changes, includes a sensitive existing building, or requires significant coordination across consultants, you may want an independent architect involved early. If you're evaluating a commercial space and don't yet know whether the use is feasible, you may need an advisory or architectural analysis before committing to the space, let alone a builder. If you want competitive bids from multiple contractors, design build may not be the right starting point. If you're not sure what you want yet, a design build firm may push you into pricing and construction decisions before the project has been fully explored. And if the firm cannot clearly explain its design process, pricing structure, permitting approach, consultant coordination, and contract terms, that's a red flag. So here's the way I would summarize it. Design build can be a strong option when the team is qualified and known, the scope is clear, the pricing is transparent, and the owner values a streamlined process. But design build can be risky when it is viewed as a shortcut around planning, design, documentation, or due diligence. Design build is not a shortcut. It is still a process. And like any process, it only works when it is clear and understandable. If you're considering design build, don't just ask whether the company can design and build. Ask whether their process will help you make better decisions. Ask whether their team has the right expertise. Ask whether their pricing is transparent. Ask whether their design approach matches your goals. And ask whether you will have the clarity you need before committing to the construction. I hope this was helpful. Sharing this knowledge is exactly why I created Before You Build. It's a strategic pre-design framework for homeowners, business owners, and anyone planning common projects like kitchens, ADUs, additions, and small commercial tenant improvements. Inside, I walk you through how to define your scope, understand costs, think through soft costs and contingency, assemble the right team, understand project timelines, and avoid common mistakes before you spend money in the wrong direction. Because whether you choose design build, architect-led design, or another path, the most important thing you can do is start with clarity. you can find Before You Build at lines.studio/store. That's lynes.studio/store, or follow the link in the show notes. Thank you for listening in today. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next talk, and we'll talk again then. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Spaces is brought to you by Lines, my Southern California-based architecture and creative studio that provides services focused on custom homes, home renovations, creative office, and specialty retail spaces. Find out more at lynes.studio. That's lynes.studio. If you learned something from this episode or think it would resonate with a friend, please share it and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps others find the show. If you have a question about the built environment or just want to share whatever is on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. You can do that at lynes.studio/podcasts. Looking for similar content? Spaces is a proud member of Gable Media, a digital media platform where you can find even more content like this. Visit gablemedia.com, and that's gablemedia.com. And lastly, before I go, if you want to see additional photos, videos, clips, and other content from this episode, visit lynes.studio/podcasts. Talk soon.